Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by Tim Vickery, our man on South American football, and he told us a little bit about Enzo Fernandez, the most expensive footballer in British history.
I'd say value for money.
Yeah, a bargain, very much a bargain.
Bargain, yeah.
Centre aisle at Lidl. So we found out a bit more about him and what he can bring to Chelsea. We had a bit of a chat. We had a quiz. Andy played mastermind, having done so well in football last week. He turned his hand to cricket questions. And we had another Paddy's Challenge as well. We bought you one of those. They're always a bit of fun. So here it all is. Good afternoon, Andy.
Well, not bad, is it? We've spent 500 odd million since
August. Just shy of 600 million.
Just 600 million. We still haven't got a striker.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's absolutely brilliant. The amazing thing is, it's not this window has been, as I was saying to Jim and Simon earlier, this window has been brilliant for Chelsea. It's been properly approached. They've addressed the needs they had in midfield and back up, right back and all this sort of thing, and defender. But the problem is for them what they did in the summer. I mean, they've got four players that have been an absolute bust, and they're going to on big money, and they're going to have to somehow get rid of them. I feel for Potter. What's he supposed to do with this bloated squad when they all come back from injury?
Yeah.
Somehow, some of them are going to be going to have about three or four Winston Bogarts. I mean, really, it's absolutely
a Winston Bogart 11. Winston Bogart was the player that that was signed, and we had this thing. It was him sort of lighting cigars with £50 notes. He barely played a game, did he?
Well, he had a contract, and they didn't want him, and he didn't want to go anywhere else, so he just sat tight.
Yeah.
And they had to pay him for 2 years, and this is what could happen.
Yeah.
And it's just there's a sort of element of, you know, the thing with Ziyech, it's amateur hour that. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
You know, how would they have felt if Benfica had done that to them? And all that deal with Fernandes, and they went, oh, sorry, we sent the wrong document.
Yeah, we hadn't signed it. We did send the signed one.
So I do think, I mean, on the plus side for Chelsea fans, I mean, a lot of them are very defiant and say everybody else is jealous of them. But I think on the plus side, they should have a brilliant squad next season. Yeah. But it's going to take a lot of pruning. And for the rest of this season, it's going to be difficult.
This is a hell of a gamble. I mean, you could argue it's less of a gamble with so many young players. And we've seen already with Modric, he looks a player, but he hasn't played a lot. And it's true of Enzo Fernandez as well. So, look, it's an element of risk when you're paying.
It's not an element of risk, but I think they bought young quality, and that has got to be a good thing, I think.
Well, we bought Tanguy Ndombele and Giovanni Lo Celso, who were seen as standout players in Europe and quality.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, using those two players as an example, though, sometimes you can buy two or three players for 100 million quid, and they're all duffers. Yeah. And you can buy one, and they're not.
Or you can do. I mean, the other mad team is Forest. I mean, 27 players, that's more than the whole squad. That's crazy.
Yeah, a kind of Poundland Chelsea approach.
Really.
It's all relative. But Chelsea has been fairly mad. But there is an element of risk about it. We may be sitting here in 6 or 7 years' time, Andy, and you may be saying, blimey, what's Bowley done to my club? Because I'm working on the basis
of
in 7 years, you'll sound like that.
Yeah.
What's Bowley done while we're in the blue square?
And interesting, goodbye to Jorginho. I think it's a goodbye for Arsenal. I personally was a fan. I think he's a top player. He's like a manager on the pitch. He's very experienced.
Well, that's why they bought him, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the only thing is when, you know, people run at him, one bloke on the Chelsea website pointed out that at one point the referee was running back quicker towards our area than he was, and that's probably true.
But, you know, I would imagine...
He is incredibly slow and he does pass the ball sideways a lot.
He's a player, though. Jacob Hawley joined us yesterday, the big Arsenal fan and comedian. Mm. And, you know, he's going to come on 10, 15 minutes before the end of a game when Arsenal are 2-0 up, just to, you know, point and shout a bit. And just tidy things up, be neat and tidy, and, you know, don't give chances away. That's going to be his role. He's not going to start that many matches unless they get loads of injuries.
No, he isn't. But, it's an interesting signing. But, look, they're going to win the league anyway.
Yeah, they haven't got to worry about penalties if he's on the pitch, have they?
No. Chelsea have got to find somebody to take penalties now if Reece James isn't on the pitch. So it'd be interesting to see what they
do.
Wonder
if Mudrick and Enzo Fernandez absolutely terrible at penalties. Absolutely appalling.
I don't think he is. I think he took quite a few in the World Cup. I think he's a good player, Fernandez.
No, he is. No.
You know, I think he'll do well.
He's got an interesting backstory. We'll talk a bit about him. I mean, you know, he hasn't played a lot of football. No. So we will chat to Tim Vickery. He joins us a little bit later on and find out a bit more about his story. He's got something about him, as they say. We'll discover more about that later when Tim joins us. We're also going to have a look at the winners and losers of the window. And there was an expectation yesterday when we were doing the show, myself and Charlie, especially in light of what Sean Dyche said in his press conference the day before when he spoke to the Everton website. You know, we'll hope to do a bit of business tomorrow. I mean, he didn't say we were going to have a splurge, but he seemed to be hinting at the fact that he felt they'd try and bring one or two in.
They bid for Gallagher, but he turned them back.
Apparently, they bid for Mitzi Batshuayi at the end, but he didn't fancy coming back from Turkey. He was quite settled.
That's quite a lucky escape.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you get desperate for goals. I mean, they've let Simon Rondon go, and and he's got the River Plate, funny enough, which is quite a weird move, so we'll discuss with Tim a little bit later.
They were the big winners out of my Fernandes deal.
I'm sure Evertonians will be shouting. He was terrible. We had to let him go and he wanted to go. But, you know, Sean Dyche might have got something out of him if he worked with him. Could have worked his magic.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a big job for him there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
With Borough handing over the home dressing room for a Valentine's Day meal special for their fans, we asked about football and romance. My dad bought a pair of West Bromwich Albion gloves for my mum on her birthday. Said, I tell you what, you really need to check out whether they'll keep your hands warm. So he took her to a reserve game at the Hawthorns to see if they worked.
Fantastic.
Well done, DS. That's your good old dad. Fantastic. Once asked my girlfriend if she fancied fish and chips and a nice walk around Whitby. Little did she know, Newcastle reserves were playing Celtic reserves at Whitby Town's ground in a friendly. I think Ivan Tony might have played.
Wow. That's all.
You don't remember the romance of it there, but you only remember Ivan Tony playing. So, when football and romance clash in light of that Valentine's meal you can have at the Riverside. Let us know. TalkSport.com and in the home dressing room as well. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ. Now, Andy, you've become slightly obsessed with Clive Myrie, the host of Mastermind. And
he does a good job. I like him.
He's very good, but he does need to explain every specialist subject. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? I mean, there are
Well, I'd say sometimes it's really obvious and sometimes he overcomplicates
it. Give us an example.
Okay, this week's ones. I've got all four from this week.
Yeah.
The specialist subject from the person was the films of Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
And Clive comes in. The feature films of the Oscar-winning actress, not the plumber then, and feature films, so not the snap she takes down to Boots to get developed. What other films are there?
I think you're being a bit picky.
Okay, this one. Specialist subject, constellations of the Northern Hemisphere. I mean, that is absolutely self-explanatory, isn't it? Not to Clive. The stars, legends and features of the 43 constellations that lie at least partly north of the equator. I'd say that's overcomplicating it, Clive. We all know what the constellations of the Northern Hemisphere
are. I got it initially. I was a bit confused by his explanation. What's the next one?
The children's books of Roald Dahl.
Oh, yeah.
That's the children's books of the best-selling author, screenwriter and wartime pilot. Not Roald Dahl the plumber, then.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Honestly.
Hello, Roald. When can you come back? Well, I don't know.
Roald's rods.
I'm going to have to get the parts first. So once I've got the parts, I can come back next Wednesday.
The pop group Take That.
Oh, pop group Take That. The popular beat combo from the northwest of England.
Nearly. The chart-topping boy band formed in Manchester.
Okay.
I've written, not the jazz quartet of the same name. For goodness sake, Clive. We know.
Andy, I got into a conversation with you last week about what your special specialist subject would be on Mastermind, should you ever do it. And you said Chelsea during the Abramovich years.
Yeah, I didn't do too
and,
well, did I?
The producer and the assistant producer hastily put together 10 questions for you on the Abramovich years at Chelsea. And you got 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10. Wasn't great.
One of the somebody got in touch. He was an Arsenal fan. Said, "I don't even support Chelsea," and I got about 5 of those right. So it was all a bit embarrassing,
it was
really.
A bit embarrassing.
So the producer and as once again decided, because the other thing you said, I should have really said England. What is England cricket? What would it have been?
The Ashes cricketers since the 1980s.
So Ashes cricketers. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not very confident I'm going to do well.
The biannual tournament played between England and Australia.
That's the one.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Cricket.
Cricket, yeah. So, here we go then, Andy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
10 questions on your specialist subject. Okay. Let's see how you get on, having got 1 out of 10 on Chelsea. And here we go. Your time starts now. Who captained the Australian side during the infamous 1981 Ashes series in England?
Alan Border.
It was Kim Hughes.
Oh, yeah.
Which England batsman scored the most runs during the 1986 Ashes in Australia?
So I didn't hear that question. I'm still laughing about the fact that I got the first
one
wrong.
Okay, well, I'll give it to you again. Say it again, you should have said. Which England batsman scored the most runs during the 1986 Ashes in Australia when England won?
Gooch.
It was Chris Broad. In which series did Shane Warne make his Ashes debut for Australia and bowl Mike Gatting with the ball of the century? What was the year?
93.
That's right, correct. Which Australian bowler took a hat-trick at the Gabba on the first day of the Ashes series down under in 2010-11? Nice gap in his teeth.
Siddle.
That's right, I gave you a clue, correct. Terry Thomas. Who was at the other end to Ian Botham when he hit a brilliant 149 at Headingley in 1981? Even I know this.
Graham Dilley.
Yeah, Graham Dilley. Correct. Who scored 227 for England in the second test of the 2006-07 Ashes series in Adelaide? A test where they managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Was it Graham Thorpe?
It was KP.
Oh.
Which Australian batsman made his Ashes debut in the 1989 series in England, going on to become one of Australia's all-time test run scorers and a 3 times Ashes winning captain?
Ricky Ponting.
That was Mark Taylor. Who was batting for England? Who was... Damn well. That Arsenal
I've
fans doing better than you.
I've done better than last week.
Who was batting for Australia in the 2005 test match at Edgbaston? Sorry, Esbiston. I do love Edgbaston. Edgbaston. When Steve Harmison managed to find the crucial final wicket with the visitors 2 runs away from...
Kasprowitz.
That's right. Absolutely correct. Who is England's all-time leading Ashes wicket taker?
Jimmy Anderson.
It's not. It's Chris's lad, Stuart Broad.
Is it?
Who were England's 2 spinners in the victorious 1985 home Ashes series? I've started to finish. 85.
Peter Such and Eddie Hemmings.
It was John Embry and Phil Edmonds. after your question, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 10.
Well, that's
which
better.
Is an improvement on 1 out of 10. Oh, you make it 4. The producer makes it 4. No, you're right. He didn't get Broad right, did he?
Well,
you're right. 4 out of 10.
Out of 10.
So you didn't pass on any. You just got them wrong.
Yes, that's unlucky.
So there's your 2. You got any other specialist subjects?
I haven't really.
Well, I think the moral is don't go on Mastermind, Andy. Although you're telling me you got 11 in the general knowledge the other day, so maybe you can make it up on that. Another partial success there for Andy Jacobs. I was at Kenilworth Road. One of the players in the warm-up hit the ball into Rose Ed, and I jumped out of my seat to save the ball from hitting this lady in the face. We've now been married for 12 years. Lee, that's beautiful.
I know, that's the opposite
upside.
Of the story. That I was in the pavilion one day at a Bunbury game, and this bloke... Instead of doing that, he pulled this woman into the line of fire and she got hit.
Use her as a human shield.
He used her as a human shield.
I don't think they got married.
No, I don't think they did. Okay. I'm not sure they even knew each
when
other.
When the worlds of football and romance collide.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, we head for Rio as always around this time to chat to South American correspondent Tim Vickery. Hi, Tim.
Hello, gentlemen. You're all lying down now, resting after the drama of transfer deadline day?
Yes, we're just taking a deep breath, especially as we realised that a Fernandez deal had got over the line. As you can imagine, there's quite a lot of profile pieces today about Enzo Fernandez, because most people's knowledge of him, unless they watch Champions League football and had seen him play for Benfica, was from that World Cup. But he has got quite the backstory. I mean... you know, finding out a little bit more about him has been interesting. What have they been saying over in Argentina about this deal?
Awuba, give us a percentage of that, please. Say River Plate.
I think it's the most an Argentinian player's ever gone for.
It's about £30 million, isn't it?
It's an extraordinary sum.
Oh, that's the River Plate,
yeah.
And for a central midfielder, that's the thing I'm finding it quite difficult to get my head around, because usually who is most valued in the transfer, in transfers? It's strikers. It's the players who get the goal. Occasionally you get like a Virgil van Dijk who's going to stop them at the other end, but it's always players in one penalty area or the other.
Bellingham this summer will go for more, and so will
Rice. And Moses Caicedo as well. This is a part of a trend where central midfielders are being valued, and how. But I don't think anyone could have imagined 6 months ago that he would be going for this amount of money. Yeah. And it's been great to see his development. I think it's taken people a little while to realise how good he is. He jumped through all of the hoops, really, in South American football. He had a grew up with River Plate, and the Enzo name there is significant because his dad named him after a real River Plate idol, played with Chrissy Waddle at Marseille, Enzo Francescoli, the Uruguayan, who's still there in administrative capacity now. And he's just an idol in the place. He is what Gazza is to Newcastle and Tottenham, Francescoli. So he was born with River Plate in the blood. Loaned out to a little side who do a wonderful job developing players, the splendidly named Defensa y Justicia, Defense and Justice. And as well as Defense and Justice, he brought structure to that side. And that's what he does to every side where he is. He brings structure. Mm. He wins the ball. He knits the sides together. He's got a goal in him as well. And when they sold him together with Julian Alvarez, I think maybe even to their surprise, they felt his absence even more than the absence of Alvarez, which is not to say he's a better player or Alvarez is. No, Alvarez is a wonderful, wonderful player. But Fernandez is the structure of the side. And you took that backbone away and the side kind of collapsed in on itself. So that's what Chelsea are buying. He's someone who gives the team a structure. And one of the things I think which is instantly noticeable about him, and you saw this under pressure in the World Cup, is he loves a big occasion and he loves the pressure, and that will stand him in good stead. The one thing that really interests me, because he's been able to fly under the radar screen. No opponent has just sat down and said, how will we stop this Enzo Fernandez? But now, for that price tag, people are going to be having a look at him. If you're playing against him.
No, they were playing Blackburn.
He does all the accents.
Thank you very much. If you're playing against him, what I think you're going to do now is just try and force him on his left foot. Because he's very right-footed. He hasn't had to do that much with a left foot because people have allowed him to get away with it. But now surely they'll have a look at him and say, right, if we want to stop him, let's put him on his left foot and see what he can do there. And it'll be fascinating to see how he gets over this next stage in his career where everyone is going to be looking at him.
How does he compare to Guimaraes? He sounds like a similar sort of player.
Yeah, I think he is. He probably doesn't have quite the drive of Bruno Guimaraes, but I suspect he can pick a pass, he can retain possession and pick a pass maybe a little bit better. And remember, Bruno Guimaraes struggled top level when he first came to Europe. I don't know if you remember those games in the lockdown where Lyon, they eliminated Man City and lost to Bayern Munich. But those two games, he couldn't play in them. They had to take him off at half-time because it was all just passing him by. He couldn't play at that speed. So it took him longer to get up to the speed of European football than it did with Enzo Fernandez, who looked instantly at home. And this is one thing which I think is interesting for the wider picture of what's happened in the transfer window. A lot of central midfielders coming in straight from South America. And it'll be fascinating to see how this goes on because it's the position where often they've struggled most with European club football. Mm. Just the pace of play through the midfield, having to adapt to that. There have been some big names who've left, especially from Brazil, and haven't been able to do it at all. So that's the fascinating thing, I think, behind this transfer window. All of these central midfielders coming in from South America straight in. Obviously, Enzo has been through Benfica, but there are a number coming straight in from South America. How are they going to cope with a football where in that zone of the field, you've got to play much, much quicker.
It's interesting, comparisons in the profile pieces from a couple of the coaches who've worked with him over the years. One saying he's an English-style box-to-box midfielder. He's a kind of six and an eight. You know, he plays more offensively as an eight in a 4-3-3, etc., etc. One of the others comparing him with Juan Sebastian Veron, making that comparison. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I don't think he's quite got the passing over range of Veron. But I think he's more competitive. I think he'll win more tackles than Veron won. But he is, and you can play him at the base if you want. You can play him a little bit higher up. I don't think you're going to play him at a 10, but if he gets in that position, he's got goals in him. So you're buying someone who's involved in all the phases of the play through the midfield, from winning to organising to passing to finishing as well, although I don't think he's going to score that many goals. But I think he'll get you a few vital ones. I mean, the match where, and Messi was talking about this the other day, the hard one for Argentina, the hardest one was Mexico. They just lost to Saudi Arabia. They kind of had to beat Mexico and the pressure was really, really on. And it was a mistake. It was one of the big mistakes, one of the few mistakes that Scaloni made, the coach. He went with Guido Rodriguez, the holding midfielder. Defensive. No, and like you get your rhythm in football from the back. And they had no rhythm at all. And it was 0-0 and it was really dreary. The moment they started to win the World Cup was when he got taken off and Enzo came on. And Enzo played the deep role against a side that offered nothing in attack. But he changed the entire game. He scored a wonderful solo goal in that one. But the game that changed the World Cup, it's Messi's shot from outside the box. And it's Messi receiving the ball from Di Maria. And Di Maria received the ball from Enzo. Higher up the field, giving Argentina a circuit of passing. So that, I think, is the definitive moment. That's the moment when Argentina's World Cup campaign really kicked off. And it was Enzo Fernandez under pressure. Pressure moment rising to the occasion.
From what you've said, Tim, finally on this, that you don't feel that old thing they always say about young players, you know, weighed down by the price tag. It doesn't sound like that's going to be an issue for him.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. And temperamentally, he looks very, very strong. The only thing is, the opponents are now going to put him under the spotlight in a way that has never, ever happened before. You know, he has suddenly become glamour player. Let's look at him. How are we going to stop him? And that's an entirely new experience for him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's time now for Paddy's Challenge, our quiz for charity in association with our friends and official betting partner, Paddy Power. In Paddy's Challenge, we put our sporting knowledge to the test with a chance of raising lots of cash for our nominated charities. I'm playing for the Sporting Memories Network, Andy raising funds for the Willow Foundation. Helping to manage proceedings and ensure fair play is our guest referee, not Ben Fletcher today, with his scorched earth take on the management here. I think he's either been fired or he's ill. We're not quite sure. But in his absence, our producer, John Cadogan, steps up, one of the fine presenters of the National Obsession Not a Talkie United podcast with Charlie Baker. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon.
Occasional commentator on the air for Talkie.
Fletcher, his teeth have fallen out, apparently. I don't know if it's all of them. Maybe one of them. Maybe it's all of them, I don't know. But yeah, he's not really thought it through. He's got absolutely no right to reply, because I went to Woking v Talkie last night as Talkie made his silly little tin pot team look very daft.
But in a one-all draw.
In a one-all draw, but they're third. They were rubbish.
Oh, wow.
Absolute
okay.
dross. Oh, pointless team. They're not going up.
You'll be like me in Brighton. You won't be very popular in
Woking. No, that's right. You can't go back to Woking.
I'm not sure there's many. I mean, given by the atmosphere last night, there's not many people to annoy, let's be honest. Not exactly the Bombonera.
What is it about sitting in that chair doing this quiz where you feel like you've got to settle scores? Anyway, how's it work, crack John?
On. Yes, it's Paddy's chance. So he's going to be asked three multiple choice questions posed by the voice of Paddy Power, Alistair McGann. The winner will be the player that scores the most points, and in the event of a tie, you're both going to win the chance to raise some cash for your charities. Last week, Paul won the challenge, back Marcus Rashford to score in United's first leg against Nottingham Forest. He was obviously the first to score that night, so it's £25 in the Sporting Memories pot.
So
we can see if we can raise a bit more cash in this week's Paddy's Challenge, so we can score, decide who goes first. I'm frantically seeing if I've got a coin.
Oh, this is going to be a proper
I've got a train ticket to Woking. Is that any good?
Flick the train ticket. Do you think it's going to orange side up or
orange
writing
side up? Or
information side up.
Information. Side he's up. Going barcode side up.
£7.
Is that barcode side up?
Yeah, no, information.
Oh, information side. Barcode. What a pointless system this is.
One side tells you where you're going. The other
well, the other side's full of information.
Okay, barcode or information.
That's what I call information.
I'm going for
it. Oh, that's it. I'm going on. Never had such a row with
your new series. That's what I call information.
Toss your ticket in the air, John, if that's not a personal question.
£7 to get to Woking.
Yeah, on, here we go.
What's the worst £7 you've ever spent?
03717. What is it?
It's information side up.
What, my information side or his information side? Oh, okay, the orange side.
So Andy's gone.
So after all that, that's all we got time for. So, you want to go first or second, Andy?
You got a choice. Which are the easiest questions this week?
He's not telling you. First or second?
I'll go first.
Right, okay. So Andy's question number one.
That could backfire on you spectacularly. Much, yeah. I like this system, it's better. Yeah. Here we go.
One of Italy's former first choice strikers is now handling the vocals in a Barcelona-based rock band. Danny Osvalda, who played for Roma, Espanyol and Southampton, swapped football for music and is now a lookalike for which Hollywood rocker? A. Johnny Depp. B. Keanu Reeves. Or C. John Bon Jovi.
Okay, he looked a bit rock star when he
yeah,
played.
Yeah, I mean,
didn't
I know
he?
The player.
Yeah,
he played
yeah,
for
yeah.
Boca for a while as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't strike me as looking like any of those. John Bon Jovi.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Keanu Reeves, is it?
It was Johnny Depp.
Oh, Johnny Depp,
yeah, apparently.
Keanu Kevin Reeves.
I've got the difficult questions.
City fans. Yes.
Should have gone for the middle one.
So, not out of one. So, these are the easy questions that really annoy Andy,
yeah,
which
exactly.
is always a joy.
Well, normally.
Right, let's have Paul's question number one.
Yes.
A BBC cameraman had to act swiftly after focusing on a rude sign in the crowd at Wrexham's FA Cup tie against Sheffield United last weekend. Which apparently innocuous platform had been used to lure the cameras in? A. A giant teddy bear. B. A giant Ryan Reynolds poster. Or C. A homemade FA Cup trophy.
I was so hoping he was going to say, what did the message say? Was it A? Anyway, it was one of those silver foil FA Cup trophies.
1 point to Paul.
Did you know that, Andy?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
fair.
Okay, fair enough.
Funny enough, on Fletcher's script, they haven't supplied him with any supplementary information about that question whatsoever. I can't
really?
Think why?
Okay, well, I'll let you know what it said if you like. I didn't
yeah,
see
no,
it.
Yeah, I think we'll all.
Okay, well, you're the producer. If you want me to say it, I'll say it.
Anyway, that's a story for another day.
We move on.
Andy, let's have question number two.
Yeah.
Erik ten Hag referenced which fictional wizard when asked about Marcus Rashford's stunning return to form? A. Harry Potter. B. Gandalf. Or C. Willow.
think it was Harry Potter.
1 point to Andy.
It's a bit easy, haven't you? I mean, like Willow. I mean, struggling a bit. Once you get, once you've gone past
not
the
Bob
two,
Wilson.
Once you've gone, not Bob Wilson. Once you've gone past the two fictional
the
wizards,
two fictional ones, Merlin. You could have had, couldn't you?
Could have Willow. Had Merlin. Anybody yeah. else?
They're your three top wizards, aren't they? Really?
Come on, let's have your top wizards.
Your
come on,
wizard cricketers. Merlin Hughes.
All three. Say, let's have your wizard footballers. Yeah.
Right,
Sleeve Andy, Highway. No, that doesn't really work, does it?
Andy
move on.
Pulls it back to one. Also, is that Paul's question number two?
Yes.
According to a recent TalkSport poll, which star player had the best first touch of all time? A. Dennis Bergkamp. B. Zinedine Zidane. Or C. Ronaldinho.
Okay, so Didier Zakora didn't make it then. Well, that's a shock.
Strange, isn't it?
I go Zizou.
Oof.
Oh, no.
It wasn't. It was Ronaldinho.
Was it
really?
Really? Yeah. Blimey, I wouldn't mind having the second best or third best touch of Zinedine Zidane, would you?
It's a bit subjective.
Used to
as
just
well.
Absolutely, I mean, they all did, but he used to absolutely kill a ball, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
That was the thing. I remember that with Ginola. Sometimes, you know, he played with some quite terrible footballers, and that arrow would ball him at head height, and he'd bring it out of the air with his foot and sort of cushion it and bring it down and contract it. He's making you look good, mate. I mean, honestly. Anyway, we digress. I got
did,
it wrong.
Did you know we did our own polling as according to the talk? No. And we barely struggle to get the radio station out sort of day to day. We're doing our own polling.
What is it
now?
About that chair that you start having a pop at everybody? Right, next one.
Right, Andy, your question number three.
Okay.
Controversial golfer Patrick Reed was accused of misleading officials at the Dubai Desert Classic last weekend after allegedly misidentifying his ball when it landed where? A. In a dune. B. Up a palm tree. Or C. In a bunker.
It was up a palm tree.
Yeah.
It was a very strange one. I don't know how you could claim he knew it was his ball. It could have been anybody's ball, couldn't it?
Well, I mean, we've got to trust him, and he seems like a trustworthy fellow.
Oh, very, yeah.
So, man of his word. So, yeah. Of course. So, did he get that right, I wonder?
2 out of 3. Not yeah, bad. Not well bad
done,
at all.
Well done, Andy.
Yeah, it was up a palm tree. Right, look at the time. Paul, let's have your question number three. Andy's 2-1 up, so you've got
he's
to
got
get
his
this right.
He's got his producer's hat on there, hasn't he? Here we go.
Yeah, it's nice.
Since 1992, only four Premier League teams have earned more than Arsenal's current 50 points at this stage of the season. How many of those four teams went on to win the Premier League? A. 4. B. 2. Or C. 3.
2.
Really?
1 out of 3. Chin up.
It was 3. Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool.
I would have gone with 4. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. You had 50 points at this point of the season. Didn't win the league. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And you win.
I've won.
Paddy's challenge,
blimey,
I know.
Right. I know. So I wasn't prepared for that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
South Africa made a very strong start in their reply to England's 346. Andy, you've not been too impressed with the bowling.
It's not exactly Lillian Thompson, is it? Oh, Wokes and Topley looked way, way off. I mean, that last ball from Wokes, sort of half floated half volley outside. I could have hit that for 4.
Yeah, we're in the same territory as this second game, aren't we? Sam Ellard joins
us
now.
Yeah, got to wait a good start.
Where they did chase down a very similar total.
Yeah, indeed. It was only a couple of days ago they chased down 343 to win the second game and seal the series. Their target today is a little bit more. It's 347 to win. And after 7 overs, South Africa are off to a very nice start. 41 without loss. Andy, you were absolutely spot on. The bowling with the new ball from Topley and Wokes, absolutely pathetic. So no surprise that we've seen Jofra Archer come into the attack. His first change, he's got the ball in hand. Normally we see him take the new ball, a slightly different role for him today, but he is into the attack. Reeza Hendricks is 9 not out from 21. Temba Bavuma unbeaten on 31. Of course, it was Bavuma in that second match. Captain's innings, he made 100 and led his team to victory. We could be in for another thriller today. The target to win 347 into the 8th over. South Africa 41 without loss.
Cheers, Sam. Sam will be up with Darren and Andy, of course, in Drive, and it's live over on TalkSport 2, ball-by-ball commentary as we speak. We did mention earlier on that Middlesbrough are having a special Valentine's Day evening where you can dine in the home dressing room to a faint smell of liniment with your loved one. You get a shirt, you get a chance to take some pictures Free course meal, 85 quid. Job's a good one.
Yeah.
Romance and football collide. Porthole Pete says, I asked a new girlfriend who knew nothing about football if she could go anywhere in Europe, where would you like to go? Rome, she said. Perfect, I said. I'll take you in November for 3 nights. Little did she know City were playing in Naples on the Wednesday. So we arrive in Rome on the Tuesday. I say, I've got an extra surprise for you. I booked a hotel in Naples.
Why so near?
And it's only an hour away on the train.
Oh, really?
Wow, you're so romantic, she said.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're all aware how hairy a place to watch football Napoli can be. Mm. But I didn't expect her to be that terrified. Funnily enough, she still married me and is now a fellow season ticket holder at the Etihad. So a like, happy ending. To that one. So, in 1978, says John, I was working in an office, and in the office next door was the girl of my dreams. We often used to go into one another's office and have a chat. During one of these chats, she asked me if I'd like to go out with her that evening. Bit forward for the times.
Yeah.
I turned her down because I was going to watch Chelsea that evening. They were playing Derby, and I was particularly keen to give Steve Wick some stick as he'd left us some month earlier and a bad mouth was in the press. Great football fans. Really? Could be the rest of your life. Anyway, happy ending. We did eventually go out and have now been married for 43 years.
I read that one on the screen. I thought he meant he'd married Steve Wicks and they'd been together for 43 years. I got really confused with that.
I think we probably would have heard, wouldn't we, by now?
Yeah, I suppose we would have. Yeah.
So, look, thank you for all of those. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to squeeze in one more. Oh, this is a forthcoming one. I'm a Birmingham City fan, season to get older, and we're at home to Cardiff on Valentine's night. As we said, it's a big Champions League night. Spurs playing Milan that evening in Milan. I'm yet to break the news to the missus. To make things worse, she's a Villa fan. Lisa, I'm sorry, and I love you. Don't use us as your conduit.
Exactly.
Trying to lessen the blow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow, myself and Charlie. Mm-hmm. Although, Andy, you will pop up with a birthday spread.
I will, yeah.
Charlie's won three in a row. He's on a roll.
He's great form, isn't he?
He's done it ever since that bit of S-housery where he cheated, in my eyes.
I'd say so.
He's not looked back. So don't say cheats never prosper. You got good gags?
I'd say it's a fair to middling
new week. Material. How many old ones?
A couple of old favourites.
Okay, fair enough. New greatest hits. All right then. Well, I hope you can join us for the spread and more tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us today.
I'm always glad when they've survived another year.
Yeah, that's good. It's a great way to keep in touch with people you didn't know. Anyway, we move on and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.